getting word about the weather here in Michigan, and I thought, oh my soul. I was suffering for Jesus in Okinawa, where they have palm trees in 70-degree weather, and I was hearing these stories about what's happening here, and I thought, oh my goodness, this could be rough. Those people are going to be like Frosty the Snowman. But it's good to be with you this morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn with me, please, to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians 3, a very simple, extremely simple Sunday school lesson this morning. It's titled, The System is a Two-Way Street. The system is a two-way street. All right, Colossians chapter 3, and take a look at several different passages here in Colossians 3. There's one spot, if you want to get a head start, in just a minute, we're going to take just a moment and look at the last verse of the Old Testament, that's in Malachi. So if you want to turn over there and hold your place there as well, we'll be in Malachi. We'll be there just briefly, but mostly here in Colossians chapter 3. Now, I have this idea, and I think it's very simply the teaching of the Word of God, is that you're supposed to read the whole section, don't you know? You can find in the Bible pretty much anything you want to find in there. You find in the Bible where it says, there is no God. It says that right in the Bible. But if you read the whole verse, it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, you know. So you can't just, you'll go and just grab one little thing out of the middle of something. Oh, you know, this looks like something that's good. And so often when we deal with relationships, when we talk about husbands and wives and fathers and sons and children, and all of these sorts of things, it seems like people are very expert at just going to the Bible and just grabbing one little thing that kind of supports their point of view, and they just kind of miss the rest of it, you know. And so if you're with me in Colossians chapter 3, in just a minute, we're going to get to that very famous verse in verse 18, where it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. And all the men love that verse. And then the next verse, it says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And in this section of Colossians 3:18-19, it talks about husbands and wives and children and all of that sort of thing. But if you take a look at Colossians, and you'll take a look at just that chapter, if you start, for example, in the beginning of the chapter, you say, okay, this is what I want. Okay, I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good wife. I want to be a good mother. Okay, well, let's see what it says here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. That word mortify is an old word that means kill. There's some things about yourself you should kill. What are things in our lives that should not be there? Well, it says fornication and uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now, if you want to have a good relationship, number one, just in getting started here, you can't be a sinful person. Okay? Now, I've been around the block a few times. I've seen a few people come in. And every once in a while, some people will come and talk to my wife and me. And say, and you know, it's amazing sometimes the people that come in and they want help, you know. And they're sort of like, you know, I'm a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a bank robber. Can you help me with my marriage real quick? You know, well, you know, certainly, yes, the Bible has something to say about marriage, but you know, you can't just be living a life that's just filled up with every kind of sin that there possibly is, and it's listed right here in this fifth verse here in Colossians. You can't be living a life filled with fornication, filled with uncleanness, filled with inordinate affection, evil concubine, every kind of thing that's bad, and say, you know, I'm just a sinful person. And I love all of my sin. Can you make my wife love me more? No, it doesn't work like that because you really got to read the whole chapter. You got to see the whole thing putting together. So, number one, you just, if you're wanting good relationships, you can't be a sinful person. Now, hold on. I don't want to confuse you. I don't mean that you have to be a sinless person. Because the Bible says no one on this earth is sinless. The only sinless person was Jesus Christ. But what I mean is you can't have a life where you're just committed to living as wicked as you can, and then you want everything to turn out well for you. Okay, number two, before you get to the relationships, you can't be dishonest. Look at verse 9. It says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Verse 9, what does it say? Plain English. Lie not one to another. Okay. You're a father. You want to have a good relationship with your son, right? Don't lie. You're a son. You want to have a good relationship with your father. Okay. Don't lie. You're a husband. You want to have a good relationship with your wife. You just can't lie. You know, and you're a lady, so I want my husband to love me. Don't lie. The Bible says very plain and very simple, lie not one to another. Okay? So if you're going to have good relationships, you have to be honest people. Okay? So you can't be sinful, like it points out in verse number 5. You can't be lying to each other, like it points out in verse number 9. Oh, now let's look it down in verse 12. You have to be humble, forbearing, and loving. Oh, wow, that's a mouthful. Look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. What are you supposed to put on? Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, I'll just be honest with you. That is a mouthful right there. Okay. Because if you are like Mike Zachary, what I like to do is when you do something that irritates me, I like to get mad about it and stay mad for about 155 years. And when you say, "Oh, I'm sorry," I'll say with my mouth, "Oh, yeah, well, I forgive you." But in my heart, I marked you and I'm never going to forgive you because you ticked me off. And the Bible says that's wrong. And I'm sitting there like, "Lord, how can that be wrong? I'm so good at it. You know, I'm so good at just holding grudges. You know, I mean, it's one of my natural spiritual gifts." And the Bible says, no, you can't do that. Now, I think I may have told you this before, but I have to tell you one time again, because it was the one time in my life where this thing just smacked me right smack in the face. We were raising our three kids. Now they're all gone, thankfully. You know, all married and out of the house. But we were raising our kids, and those kids love to argue with each other. And they love to fight and get things going. Now, with our kids, I don't know about your kids. We have three. If you had any two of them together, they were fine. But when all three together, it was like World War III. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And you know, I'm all pious, you know, like this humble little father, scriptural father, Baptist dad, you know. And I would tell my kids as they're beating each other and throwing each other off the roof and, you know, whatever they're doing, I say, "Now, you got to be kind one to another." You know, and we even had to memorize the verse, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, for God's sake." And I'm telling you, you want God to forgive you of your sins? You got to, you know, and all through Ephesians 4 through, "Be ye kind." Well, you know, that was good for dad to tell the little bratty teenagers, right? The teenagers, little wicked kids, "You should be kind." Oh, my soul, but there was a guy. And he was not a teenager. I was not a teenager. He was getting under my skin. And he was doing it professionally. Have you ever had one of those people that loves to irritate you? And you think, you know, I think they just lay awake at night to try to figure out how they can make me a little more miserable tomorrow than they already did the day before. And I was thinking about this guy, and I'm just, you know, that guy just irritates me. And I'm out by my little house, you know, and I'm just riding my bike. Now, as you can see from my waistline, I should have ridden another 20,000 miles than I did, but I was obviously riding a very short distance on my bike. And I was just thinking about that guy who just irritated me to no end. And I'm telling you, I don't believe that the Lord speaks in audible voices, and I didn't have a vision of a 900-foot Jesus like Oral Roberts said he did, you know. But the Lord just put it on my heart, and he said, Mike, you need to forgive him. And I am so stubborn and so bad. I said to the Lord, right on my bike, I'm not going to forgive him. Because what he's doing on purpose. And the Lord said, you need to forgive him. And I said, no. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, I was being a little brat, you know, but I'm very good at that. And then the Lord started pulling some lordly things on me, right? Okay. And the Lord brought to my mind, now, what have you been teaching your children? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And I said, Lord, you don't need to be talking to me about raising my children. I'm trying to teach them the way of the Lord. And the Lord said, oh, you need to forgive him. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to forgive him. I don't care what I've taught my children. That's good for teenagers. I'm an adult. I'm mad at the guy. I'm going to stay mad at the guy. And the Lord said, why is that? I said, Lord, because what he's doing to me, he's doing on purpose. And then the Lord pulled the final straw. He said, Mike, do you sin on purpose? Or do you just always sin accidentally? And I'm like, that's not fair. That is not fair. Okay. And then the Lord put in my heart and said, do you want me to forgive your sins?
Yes, sir. That's right.
And I said, oh, Lord, you know I need you to forgive my sins. And he said that I need you to forgive him. And I'm like, oh, man, that's what these verses are all about here. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Look at that last part of 13. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Oh, man. That just gets down, you know, into meddling with the details of life at that point. Okay. Now, that is the background. Now, hold on. If you're going to have good relationships, father, son, mother-daughter, father-daughter, husband-wife, or whatever it really, if you have the background there, you got to have those first parts of Colossians 3 in your mind. Number one, you can't just be living a life full of sin. You can't be lying to people all the time. You say, well, I didn't lie, I just didn't tell all the truth. No, you can't be lying to people all the time. We might say, now you can't be a political figure, okay, and just lying all the time. And you can keep it, period, you know, whatever. And you can't be a person who doesn't forgive. You've got to be a forgiving person. You've got to be patient with people. And then you've got that as the backdrop. If you don't have that, just forget about it. Okay? Because if you're not doing those things, all the rest of it's not going to work. Okay? Now, but when you get into the rest of it, oh my goodness. Now let's look at verse 18. Because my title is, the system is a two-way street. So it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Look at verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So it has something to say about wives. And it has something to say about husbands. Now, this business of systems is kind of complicated. Let's just take a car, for example. I've been riding around in your pastor's vehicle. He drives it quite quickly. You know, he gets around from place to place. He got me from here, from the airport to here in, what was that, 20 minutes? Was it? No, just teasing. But, you drive that vehicle like that. Now, what does it take to make that thing go? Well, I can't tell you all of it because, number one, I don't understand it all myself. But let's just say, you say, well, Dr. Zachary, one of the things it takes in there, you got to have gas in the car. Okay, so you put the gas in the car. and you turn it on and you put it in gear and it doesn't go anywhere, what's wrong? I'll say all four tires are flat. See, if you have the gas in the car, but you got flat tires, it's not going to go anywhere. I say, I tell you what we'll do. We'll get those tires all fixed up. We'll get the tires all fixed up and get brand new tires on there. But in the meantime, your neighbor came by and stole all the gas out and you got no gas in there. You got beautiful tires on the car and no gas. You're still not going anywhere. Because if that car is going to go anywhere, you're going to have gas in the tank and you're also going to have tires on the car. It's a system. You got to have it all. You can't say, well, I'll just put the gas in, but I'll just leave out the tires. No, you got to have the whole thing working together. Now, in this situation here, if you look at it, the Bible is pretty clear in these couple verses about the pairing of the system. Look in verse 18. Wives, submit. But right away in verse 19, it says, husbands, love. You see, that's a system between a husband and a wife. If you want a happy home, you cannot have a situation where the wife submits to the husband, but the husband's a jerk. You cannot have a situation where the husband loves his wife and she's just a jerk. If you want that thing to work, you got to have both people involved. Both people. It's a two-way street. You got both people got to. Now, look at it. It's talking about husbands and wives, but right after that, it talks about children and their parents. Look at verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Okay, kids, you got to obey. You say, well, I'm a teenager. I don't have to obey. Well, teenagers have to obey too. But look at verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Okay, so what are the children supposed to do? The children are supposed to obey. What are the parents supposed to do? They're not supposed to be jerks. And you got to have both of those things working or you don't have a good relationship. If you've already found your place in Malachi, I ask you maybe to find that. The last verse of the Old Testament is Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. And here you see that pairing once again. In Malachi 4:6, it says, and he shall turn, okay, I'll read verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Look at verse 6. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. Now, what does that say? The last verse of the Old Testament, God says the fathers will have a heart for the children, and the other part of the system, the children have to have a heart for the fathers. And he said, if that's not working, I'm going to put a curse on you. Both sides. You got to have a two-way street. You go back over into Colossians. And we'll stay there then the rest of the time. Because the Bible says in Colossians, very simple, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That's one of, well, that's one part of the system. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, if you're going to do it the Bible way, number one, it cannot be a one-way street. It can't be a one-way street. Okay? Husbands, you can't be a total jerk and do all kinds of sinful things, not be forgiving, not be forbearing, not be loving, and tell your wife, if you just submit, then that'll work. No, it won't work that way. That's a one-way street. Wives, you can't be, you know, spending all the family fortune every time there's a sale at the mall. You spend five paychecks for every 2 weeks that go by and be, you know, manipulating and maneuvering and hard to get along with and catty and coming up with all these things that are ridiculous and burn all the food all the time and just slap your children around. You know, you can't do all that and say, husband, you're supposed to love me. You know, it's because it's got to be a two-way street, not a one-way street. Okay, so if you're going to follow what the Bible says, you can't do the one-way street. It's a two-way street. Now, the thing I want to talk about for just a minute this morning, you can't have a three-way street either. You say, what are you talking about, a three-way street? Now, this is kind of an interesting situation. And there's a technical term for it. I don't know if I want to give you the technical term or not. The technical term is triangulation. Now, this is kind of a weird thing. The triangle. A three-way thing. What happens when it's a three-way thing going on? Well, this is very interesting. Pastor, I don't know if I've told you this or not before. But people who study humans and study how they behave and all that sort of thing, they have studied the children who grow up in alcoholic homes. A very interesting study. I mean, mom's a drunk, dad's a drunk, or maybe one or the other or both. And they study those children who come up in these abusive alcoholic homes. And they say, when you were raised in an alcoholic home, these are the characteristics that you have. You've got this problem, you've got this problem, you've got this problem. And when they were studying these things, they came across something that was very puzzling to them. They came across a group of kids, a large group of kids, you know, thousands of them, that had all the characteristics of the children of alcoholism. They had all this, I mean, they acted just like their folks were drunk. But when they looked at the homes, the parents were not drunk. The parents were not alcoholics. The kids did not come up in homes where they were beaten or abused all the time. From the outside appearance of things, everything looked normal. Nice Sunday. Aren't we a beautiful family? Aren't you, Pastor, aren't you proud of us? Everything looks so good. But when they got on the inside of those homes and they really looked around, they found triangulation. Now, what in the world is that? That three-way thing. Triangulation is, you've got, let's just say a father and a son. Okay, so I'm the dad. My youngest son is named Bradley. Okay, so if Bradley is with me, I say, oh, Brad, how you doing? You're my favorite. I love you. You love me. And then when I'm not with Brad, I say, oh, Pastor, that son of mine is a devil. He's just terrible. Would you pray for him? So, in other words, here's me, here's the son, here's the pastor. That's three people, and I'm treating them two different ways. To his face, I'm saying everything's fine, and we're all good, and everything's good, but to everybody else. And so, in other words, I won't ever tell my kid, I've got a problem with you, son. I'm going to tell other people and see if I can manipulate, oh, did you know your dad's mad at you? Kind of a deal. And they found that with that, when people are handled in that kind of way, they wind up being just the same as if they grew up in alcoholic homes. It affects the kids just as bad as if their parents were drunks. Okay? Here's something that's crazy about that. For example, they found out that one of the things that makes a father-son relationship bad is when the father is more interested in making himself look good than in raising a good son. For example, the father will say, I want you to know, son, you've done something that was bad. And as your dad, I need to punish you. Okay, the son did something bad, right? The father needs to punish him, right? That's two people involved. When you get the third person involved, it's like the father is no longer concerned that the son did something bad. The father says to his son, son, you did something bad. And you made me look bad to the pastor. And because you made me look bad, I'm going to smack you around because you made me look... In other words, I'm not correcting the son because he did bad. I'm correcting the son because he made me look bad in front of the pastor. And they find in the study of people that when that attitude happens, oh man, does it mess up with the kids' minds. It causes all kinds of problems. Now, it doesn't say here in verse 20, children, obey your parents. In verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. And then verse 22 doesn't say, and be sure to impress the pastor with everything. It just says, hey, it's a two-way street. If it's going to be good between you and your kid, it's going to have to be between you and your kid. If it's going to be good between you and your wife, it's going to have to be between you and your wife. You can't be bringing other people into it and manipulating and saying things. And you say to your wife, oh, honey, I love you. But you tell your friend, oh, I hate her. And when you start that kind of angling and getting your messages, that is not what the Bible teaches. I mean, that it's just not what the Bible teaches. And I've got to be honest with you, teaching college now for over 30-some years, I have had so many people come into my office and they say, man, I am so confused. And I look at them and say, man, how are you confused? You look totally normal. You look, everything's fine. They say, I think my dad hates me. And I say, how do you think your dad hates you? Oh, they said, we don't think he cares about me. We think he just cares about how we make him look. And I can't deal with that. And I'm saying, what? I said, yeah, my dad doesn't care if I'm a good person or a bad person. He just wants me to make him look good. Whoa. Now, the Bible doesn't teach that at all. Doesn't teach anything like that. The Bible says very clearly here, as you see in 18 and 19, as you see in 20 and 21, as you saw in Malachi 4:6, it is a two-way street. Okay, now we often preach, Pastor, that it's not a one-way street. You can't just be a bad husband and have a good wife. And that's not going to make a happy home. And you can't just be a bad father and have obedient children. But it's not a one-way street. But it's not a three-way street either. And we got to be very careful that even when the Bible said earlier in the chapter, lie not one to another, God is always assuming that if you have a relationship with somebody, you have that relationship with that person. And you're not weirdly and strangely angling other people in there to fight your battles for you. There's a lady down south, and she was known to be the sweetest lady in the church. And she never, she was just kind. Oh, she was so sweet. And whenever she saw the pastor, she said, oh, Pastor, thank you so much. But she would have her daughter. She'd say, that pastor did me wrong. And she would have that daughter go, you tell him Mama's mad about this. But Mama never said anything about it. But man, she had the daughter say about it. Now, what is that? That's the three-way weirdness is what that is. That means that lady can't talk to the pastor and say, Pastor, could we work on something? She can't. She would always send her little agents to do the work for her. Okay? Now, you know what? If you're a person, And you can't talk straight to your wife and straight to your husband. You need to have some little agent send you. You need to quit that.
Yes.
Because that's not what the Bible says.
Amen.
If you're a church member and you have a problem with a pastor and you say, I could never tell him. I'll just tell the deacon to tell him that I'm mad. The Bible is all about a two-way street where people can talk to each other. And the Bible's not about this, well, I'm going to pretend this, I'm going to pretend to be that, and if I have a problem, I'll tell somebody. No, that is wacko. Just so you know, you say, well, what do you mean wacko? Okay, I mean, like, if you do that long enough and you do that strong enough, there's a name for it, and you have to see a psychologist to get over it, and they put you in the funny farm. Okay, it's wacky to do that. It's not mentally healthy to do that. And what does the Bible say? It's a two-way street. It is a two-way street. You want to have things good between you and your wife? Talk to each other. How can a husband and wife get along? She should submit. He should love. If they have a problem, they talk to each other. Can you imagine my wife, Angie? She says, she would say to me, Mike, I'm just kind of upset with you. And I would say, well, honey, how could you be upset with me? I'm such a perfect husband. No, I wouldn't say it. But can you imagine if all of a sudden my assistant, John Tyler, a real fine young man, he comes to me, he says, Dr. Zach, I think your wife's upset with you. I say, why? Well, she's telling my wife. She's all upset. I say, honey, you've said, oh, no, honey, that would be weird. You don't want to get into this thing where you're angry, because the Bible is just so simple. The system in the Bible is a two-way street. I talk to Pastor Zavatsky. He talks to me. If I have a problem, I work with him. He works with me. If he has a problem with me, he works with me. We just talk. And that's what the Bible is getting at in this whole passage when it talks about don't be a sinful person, don't be a dishonest person, don't be a lying person. And then you get into this two-way street where the wives and the husbands, that's a system. The children and the fathers or the parents, that's your system. And even we could go further. The Bible talks about servants and masters. And there's a system. Employees are supposed to act a certain way. And then employers are supposed to act a certain way. It's always a two-way street. So the only thing I want to tell you this morning is if you're going to do it the Bible way, it's got to be a two-way street. You don't just get to have all the things you want and let everybody else go crazy. You know, you're part of a two-way system. But don't make it a three-way system. Don't start angling. You just learn how to deal straight up with people. And take your husband, if you have a problem, talk to your wife. And just make that a two-way street. And now you're into some biblical living. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for the word of God, how simple it is. Lord,